Well, let's get let's warm up here for a second before the top of the hour, before the bell rings. Read a few verses. Here's something out of the book of Acts. You have to get your notepad ready, your highlight in your pen. See how the anointing begins to build your understanding around these verses here, okay? Acts 3, 6 and 7. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, immediately his feet and ankles received strength. Interesting that Peter, okay, he says, "Silver and gold have I none." Now back about 40 years ago in the confession doctrinization, okay, that would be a bad confession on Peter's part when he says, "Silver and gold have I none." Whereas it would have been said back then, "Okay, I am rich and wealthy in Jesus, so therefore, in the name of Jesus, be healed." But you notice Peter didn't say that. He said, "Silver and gold have I none," because he's identifying that the source is not with the first covenant. Silver and gold was that which is assigned to the first covenant. So Peter says, "Not by the law of Moses are you being healed, okay, but by the name of Jesus, okay, by the authority of this anointed." Okay, so he took him by the right hand. Interesting, he uses the word right hand here, because it's also identifying, okay, that which the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, okay, where Jesus laid his right hand upon the head of chief elder John. And in Jesus' right hand were seven stars. And we can see that the seven stars represented the seven churches, the angels of the seven churches. So we see it's by the power of the anointing, okay, that this man would be restored. Okay, and so Peter and also chief elder John here, chief elder Peter and chief elder John, okay, we're identifying that the restoration be through the apostolic, the government of God, okay, through these fishermen. Okay, the man restored whole by the name of Jesus, not by the name of Moses. Okay, let's go on another one here. Acts 3:16. Okay, in his name, through faith in his name. Okay, and he says he's identifying the kingdom. He's identifying the kingdom, not the pronunciation. In his name, through faith in his name, he's identifying the reflection, okay, of the knowledge of this kingdom, okay, which is Jesus Christ. When he said the kingdom of God is among you, the kingdom of God is here. Okay, the kingdom of God doesn't come with the observation, okay, of the carnal eye. Jesus is speaking of himself. Okay, and this was in regard to the stewardship, the new stewardship for the new covenant for the new week. Okay, in his name, through faith in his name. See the word faith there, which is identifying the reflection and reciprocation as to this power. It made the man strong, as it does the church today. Whom you see and you know. Yes, the faith which is by him, okay, which has to do by this Jesus of Nazareth, has given this man here that was a crippled now perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And this, of course, was done in the court as he was going up to the temple. Okay, so we can see that the man was there daily, okay, but there was no restoration or healing, because God wasn't using Moses as that sign, okay, of reciprocation anymore, why the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, okay, which has to do with the removing of that, the removing and the sanctification of that covenant. Okay, was now fulfilled by Jesus' physical sacrifice on the cross. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation any other. That seems pretty clear to me. Okay, the salvation will be put within the Ten Commandments, okay, or law and commandments of Moses. Now, redemption was put within this person, Jesus Christ. Okay, and of course, we'll be talking more about this concerning the ambassadorship of the apostles. So neither is there salvation any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, the angel of the Lord was now working with this knowledge. Under Moses, all the prophets confirmed Moses. Under Christ, all prophets confirmed Christ. Have your Bibles open to a book of Ephesians. To those just coming in, we just warmed up here a little bit with out of some scriptures out of the book of Acts. Okay, now we're in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be finishing up here in Ephesians chapter 6. Then we'll be immediately jumping over to Philippians chapter 1. All right, we're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start here around verse 19. That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly. And this is what also the Apostle Paul brings out in his writings to the saints there in Philippi. Okay, to boldly make known And boldly make known, which means to, what he's, right, all he's saying right here, is that with great confidence, we're continually unfolding this mystery. The mystery of the gospel is unfolded as you grow in grace. Okay, that's where you get the little children, young men, and fathers. The mystery of this kingdom is unfolded through your participation. When you're beginning to build with the kingdom of God, you begin during in the mail room before you work up to the position of the CEO of an organization. Okay, and so as little children, you're beginning in the mail room. As the mystery begins to unfold, you begin to become more familiar with the functions of this kingdom. Okay, like getting familiar with the functions of an automobile. If you work in a factory, okay, your understanding of the functions of the vehicle, the automobile, okay, is more profound than those that just go buy it on the market. Okay, you have how to put the key in the ignition in order for you to get your mobility. Okay, where the mystery of God, okay, is unfolded through your cycles of growth. Okay, but you need truth in order to direct your understanding of, and to perceive this procedure. Without the foundation of truth, okay, this procedure is lost. In other words, you lost your keys. Okay, there's no mobility in the car. Okay, the vehicle is locked. And your keys are inside the car, right? Now I need a locksmith to come and open the door of the vehicle in order for you to become more functional. So again, there's a procedure there, okay? And we can see that the ambassadorship of the government of God is that key, okay? Whereas you have your mobility. It's that key, whereas the mystery of Christ is continually unfolded, so that your mobility remains steadfast. Okay, that in other words, you are continually putting petrol in the tank of your vehicle. Okay, unless it's an electric vehicle. Okay, in other words, you have to have that tethering. You have to have that tethering for that regeneration. The retethering of the regeneration is in the government, the truth, the spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, and the graces of God. So you're plugged in to that tethering. Okay, so to me, he says, and for me, that prayer, he's talking about prayer here, and for me that utterance may be given. Okay, that God will continually mold my thinking with this knowledge for me in order to cleanse this house. That I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery. I like the word mystery there. Okay, the mystery of the gospel. So it's something that's concealed. It's something that's concealed. He's not talking about regarding that which is ink on paper. He's regarding that which is the unfolding of the anointing. The Spirit. That's why if we walk in the Spirit, let's live by the Spirit. Okay, our mobility is within this connection, not severed from it. Our mobility is connected to the throne of God, the Godhead. Our mobility is connected to that which includes the government of God, the ambassadorship, okay, the functions of your priesthood. Okay, and he says here, for which I am an ambassador. I like the word ambassador there. Okay, my stewardship is tethered to the Godhead, the government. Okay, how can you tell it's tethered to the Godhead and to the government of God? Okay, of course, by the anointing of that grace. By the anointing of grace, we behold the face of Christ. Okay, we behold the face of Christ in word and in deed. And it's through these things, okay, whereas we bear forth fruit, okay, fruit unto godliness. Okay, fruit unto godliness. Okay, that you may prosper even as your soul prospers. Okay, as Chief Elder John brings out in his third epistle, that you may prosper even as your soul prospers. So we're talking about the mobility and the enlargement of the heart, okay, through the ingesting of this knowledge. Okay, and by digesting this knowledge, okay, you're able to take vengeance against all disobedience. When your obedience is fulfilled, as the Apostle Paul says, then you'll be able to take vengeance against all disobedience. You're able to contend for the faith. Because you can set forth before the adversaries this divine pattern. Okay, and this divine pattern will be spoken against by the carnal-minded. Okay, but it will be accepted by those whom the Lord draws. Okay, so for no man can come to the Father except he draw him. That's what Jesus said. So Jesus was getting and setting out this understanding for the apostles. They were listening to this. Okay, then they began to understand, no man can come to the Father but by me. No man can come to heaven except the Father draws him. Well, how is this drawing to God manifested? By the illumination of grace, by the preaching of the knowledge, okay, by the word of righteousness, the exercising of your spiritual muscles there, okay, at the altar, okay, the expression of charity. And for me, verse 19 again, and for me the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So make sure I like the word mystery of the gospel. Okay, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds. I like the word ambassador. So we can see that the Apostle Paul is making this connection for us. Okay, through the stewardship, the mystery of Christ is unfolded. The face of Christ is seen. Okay, the face of Christ is seen. In other words, okay, he's preparing our passport, the white stone. He's preparing us this passport. Okay, but because the anointing is the reflection of God. Okay, it is the photo of God himself. The anointing is the photo of God himself. That anointing is put within your passport. Why? It's inscribed within the chambers of your heart. Okay, it's also the cleansing of your conscience. So that by the pure conscience you see him. Blessed pure heart, for they shall see God. Okay, for which I'm ambassador in bonds. Now the bonding again, all right, it has to do with being a prisoner to him. You're either a servant to the law or you're a servant to grace, but you're not servant to both. Okay, you can't serve two masters. If you serve the flesh, you serve the law, and the law is earthbound. That which is earthbound is transient, it's temporal, it's passing. It goes from beauty to ashes. Okay, but now he's taking us from ashes to beauty. Okay, as the prophet says, I'm giving you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, for the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness. Okay, the ashes, okay, and the ashes and the heaviness there, okay, has to do with the yoke of the law. The anointing removes us from that yoke. Okay, the yoke of the law. Okay, and puts us under the yoke of Christ, which is to learn of him. This is the mystery. Mystery of the gospel. Gospel is Jesus Christ. The gospel is not us. The gospel is Jesus Christ. Okay, and when you reflect him, you're reflecting his perfection. You're reflecting his perfection through charity. Okay, because charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Charity is not subject to sin. Charity is not subject to the law. Because by the law comes a knowledge of sin, and because the knowledge of sin comes death. Okay, everything that's transient comes by that law, which addresses the discrepancies of Adam's nature, the moral code, that driving force, okay, the driving force to consume, to control, to dominate, or to destroy. Okay, that which is in rhythm with the nature of the flesh is transient, okay, and cannot be transformed into the law of grace. Those which walk by the spirit of faith are free from the law. So this is the mystery of the gospel, okay, that we fulfill the law by faith in Jesus Christ. By fulfilling all things, he put all things in himself as that one bread. Okay, he is that bread which we partake now. We don't partake of the bread of Christ and the bread of the tabernacle. That would be a transgression. Okay, we can't partake of Jesus' baptism and the baptism of the flesh, that is of the temple. Okay, because the priests of the temple had to wash themselves, okay, of the bath or the bath of the sea of that altar. We see water and fire, okay, within that first court, and it's, of course, by water and fire, okay, that we see the Lord, by water and fire. Okay, for which I'm an ambassador. What Paul's saying, I am a representative of an invisible kingdom, okay, of a concealed mystery. Okay, this gospel, which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, to teach clearly with confidence and setting order. Okay, that's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. To teach clearly Okay, of this knowledge confidently in setting order. Okay, as his calling demands. Okay, now we're going to see concerning the servitude of your ambassadorship here. Okay, is transferable by the passport to that which is in another dimension. Okay, the rapture. Okay, we have the passport inscribed within us. Okay, because we bear in us the image of Christ. We bear within us that testimony. Okay, we're being crucified with Christ through the cycles of your growth, subduing the imagination, the aspiration, and the principle, okay, by the power of the anointing, which the law cannot do. Those under the law use the law with their aspiration, their imagination, and their principle. Okay, as we see with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers. Okay, they use that law as a whip or principle against the Messiah, against Jesus Christ, as did Satan. Satan used the knowledge of the law, okay, against the anointed one, which was free from the law. Okay, as Jesus brought out, it is written again, showing his proper tethering. The proper tethering is to the throne, not to the aspiration. The proper tethering is to God and not to the imagination. You can't serve the true God with the imagination. Why, you have to serve him in faith and knowledge. The imagination is like a wild horse. Okay, it demands the freedom to rampage on the plain. Okay, to run in the open fields and open wilderness. It's like a wild ass. Okay, as the scriptures bear out. But that which is of the law of grace tames the imagination. Okay, tames imagination. Okay, those which are outside of the covenant, okay, are forced to use their imagination, okay, with the biblical events, people, or text. Okay, they're forced to use the imagination with that. So they label the imagination the work of the Spirit, but it's the very opposite. Okay, the imagination worked against Eve because Satan was using, okay, the Word of God, being untethered from the Godhead. He was using it for his own aspiration and presenting it to Eve for her aspiration. Okay, so her imagination entered into that knowledge. By entering into that knowledge, okay, she, okay, logically, okay, put within order concerning its procedure. Okay, look, handle, and eat this fruit. Look, handle, and eat, which the Lord says, okay, don't even go near it. Okay, don't muse about it. Okay, don't partake of it. Stay away from this tree. It's a planting of Satan. Okay. Satan planted the vine. Okay, Satan planted a vine by which God cursed. The vine was placed in paradise. Okay, it was there for a testing. Okay, and that was also to give us knowledge today regarding this testing. That testing which unfolded within the Garden of Paradise is continually unfolding today within the struggles of every conscience, the conscience of every Adamite. But that which God cursed in the beginning, God blessed in the end. Because that which he cursed at the beginning, okay, he also partook of, okay, at the Last Supper, the wine. Okay, the wine. He partook of that. Okay, and that's why he said, drink you all of it. You can drink, you can touch, you can handle, you can drink this now. Because it is sanctified, it's in the hands of the stewardship. In the hands of the stewardship, that which is accursed is blessed. As we see also with Elisha, okay, when he sprinkled salt, okay, within the bitter water and turned the bitter water sweet. As by the anointing bridges that which is accursed. Okay, and that which is of the law is accursed. Okay, because the law is earthbound and self-referencing. It cannot redound to the glory of God. Because all it does is expose. Okay, it doesn't perfect, it only exposes. Okay, it's not the vaccine. Okay, it's the plague. Okay, so law is as the plague, but the anointing is the vaccine. Okay, by which we are free from that law. So as the scripture brings out, okay, who heals all your diseases. And it says that in the book of Psalms. Okay, what heals it? The knowledge of God. Okay, so we're going to jump over to Revelation here. The white stone. And then the stone, you'll give him a new name. And no man knows, saving he that receives it. Okay, now when you think of the white stone, you think of something you find in the street. Okay, you find, or you, you, You're walking along the beach and you see these stones. You see black stones, white stones, all kinds of stones that have been washed by the water, okay, sand and time. Okay, so you pick up a white stone. That's not what he's talking about. Okay, he's talking about something, okay, of intense light. Okay, the stone of his light. Okay, the foundation. Okay, the foundation who Jesus Christ is. This white stone, okay, whereas inscribed, your name is inscribed within that which is, which the anointing bears, okay, his name, his secret name. The secret name of the Lord will be fully disclosed only to those who have the white stone, okay, because we bear his image, we bear his likeness, we bear his powers, okay, in order to carry on his likeness, okay, and the pleasure of his kingdom, that which the Father, okay, desired with, for the fulfillment of his own pleasure, okay, before time began, before he created time, okay, before he created this plan. Let's go to Revelation now, 22. We should be there now. Okay, so we serve the interests of the king. Okay, and we see that, let's start with verse 3. Okay, there shall be no more curse. See that verse 3 there. Okay, in other words, that God accepted this equal to his light in Christ. Okay, through the second veil. Okay, the second veil, this is the door, the throne of God, the door of fire charity, the flame of the Spirit. Okay, so we see here the throne of God and the Lamb. We see two things here. Okay, the flame of the Spirit, fire charity, the flame of the Spirit, and the Lamb, which is water and the flesh. Okay, the water, that which is the water of the, and the flesh. Okay, now being sanctified in one. Separate for our distinctions and services here, okay, but now united together as a new heavens, new earth. Okay, and this is what he brings out in Revelation chapter 22. Okay, in chapter 21, he says there, I saw a new heaven, new earth. Chapter 21, verse 1. Okay, now when he says a new heaven, new earth, we're talking about, okay, the dimensions which were separated, okay, which were separated by the vortex and door of Jesus, okay, because Jesus is that door, the vortex into the Father's bosom, that which is the crystal sea, okay, that which was now divided, okay, is now united, okay, that which is of the waters was restored by the fires, okay, and this is what Chief Elder Peter saw, okay, wherein dwells righteousness. Okay, a new heavens and new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. For that which is of the waters now will be dominated and consumed by the fire as Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, that which is of the waters, which is the flesh, is weak. Okay, and the law condemned weakness. Okay, but by which Jesus rose from the dead, conquering the water, the flesh, and the weakness. Okay, and this is what he's brought out. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched, okay, with the feeling of our infirmities, because he came in the form of the flesh, but remained spotless, harmless. Okay, spotless and harmless, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews there, higher than the heavens. Okay, so there shall be no more curse. Okay, and I'm starting at verse 3, chapter 22, verse 3. There shall be no more curse. This is your second circumcision. Okay, the curse had to do with the restriction. Okay, the flesh is restricted to time. Okay, the flesh is restricted to time. It's also restricted to the elements. Okay, restricted to the elements, which means it's also restricted to need. Sleep, water, okay, warmth, okay, food, okay, subject to time. Okay, everything that's transient. Okay, that which is transient is under law. That which is eternal is under grace. Okay, we're children of the light. We're children of life. We're children of his grace. Okay, we are kings of the anointing, okay, because we're following the captain of our salvation, the anointed one, okay, which is the prototype of our faith here and of our future, the Alpha and Omega. There should be no more curse but the throne of God and the Lamb. See, look at the contrast he's given. There's no more curse but the throne. Okay, well, what was before that? The separation. What is it presently at the time of this writing? Okay, the uniting. The uniting of these powers, okay, which has to do with flesh and spirit and flame and water, okay, eternity, okay, eternal things, which temporal things, okay, to whereas God was blessing us, okay, for this, for the transition, okay, as well as also a transformation, from one form to another form, from one kingdom to another kingdom. Okay, the rite of passage, okay, from that which is the kingdom of the waters of the flesh to that which is the kingdom of the fire of the spirit, okay, through the altar which he's provided for us. Okay, fire, only fire can pass through fire. But because Jesus died on the cross physically, shedding his blood, okay, in representation of fire and water, okay, of the sun and of the dew, the sun represented, okay, that which is of time, okay, but it also represented that which is unchangeable. Okay, we're going to see that the sun still exists. Okay, and when the holy city is constructed, okay, it will have no need of the sun nor the moon. Okay, but as long as the earth endures, as long as the earth is here, okay, the sun and the moon will endure. Okay, the changes of seasons also endure, except within the holy city. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb, fire and water, shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Okay, that's in the light of the temple, the baptism of light. They shall serve him. Okay, all the powers will be present to multiply as the stars of heaven, as the Lord made known to Abraham, which is called the father of our faith. Okay, Abraham's the father of faith, which the Lord put in this individual, Abraham, okay, in the event of that time, the sacrificing of Isaac, and the circumcision of the flesh. He put within that symbolism a parable, as the stars of heaven as a sandwich upon a seashore, and your seed should possess the gate of his enemies. The gate of his enemies, which has to do with anything that's less than his light. We also stand within the gate. Standing in the gate has to do with the door of the chamber, the door of the chamber of our kingdom. The door of the chamber of the kingdom sets the throne. We sit on that throne. Okay, and as sons of God, the policy which is issued forth from our lips, okay, is carried forth and enforced by the powers which we create. Okay, the angels which assist us, even your personal angel, which is in perfect representation of your desire. Okay, even as the angel of Jesus. Jesus is angel. You see that in the last chapter again. Okay, I, Jesus, sent my angel. You see that in verse 16. Okay, the angel would be a servant and a power. Okay, which serviced him, okay, within the transactions which unfold in his earthly ministry, such as is taking place today in your life, right now. Okay, your angel is attending upon the things of his righteousness now, okay, and represents your interests, how you feel, how you think, how you act. Even as Jesus says, I and my Father are one, the angel of his righteousness is assisting me within his transaction, giving the words of transformation. The kingdom of God is here. Okay, and Jesus is as that door. He's as that key. Okay, as we also read there in the first few chapters. Okay, and the angel of the church, and the angel of the church of Philadelphia. These things saith he that opens, and no man shuts, and shuts, and no man opens. He is that key. He is that door. He is the throne. He, even as we are here, he is using us as a key, as a rod, as a door, okay, as a throne. Okay, because the angel that attends to these things works within us, giving us dreams, visions, prophecy. It is that anointed one, okay, that is taking this knowledge and molding your understanding and saving your soul. Okay, beware of him, labor with him, because God's name is in him. Okay, we can see this unfolded, okay, when the understanding of that first covenant. My angel is with you. Beware of him, because he will not spare disobedience. Okay, and the angel of righteousness takes revenge against all disobedience. Okay, through your cycles of growth. He's cutting away all things that offend, okay, to birth new things within you. Behold, I make all things new. Okay, through your cycles of growth, that word is fulfilled in your cycles of growth. Okay, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. Okay, and his servants shall serve him, okay, which identifies us, okay, as kings and priests. We see that in that which is in the first chapter, and has made us kings and priests. They shall see his face. You see his face now in part, which has to do with that which is spoken through stewardship. But then you should see him face to face, okay, which has to do with not only the bonding here, but the bonding there. You see him face to face. Because he's inscribed his word within you, you behold him. Because your ears are circumcised, your heart is circumcised, okay, and your eyes are circumcised. Okay, it's circumcised from what? It's circumcised from those things of the law. Okay, the law works with natural things. The carnal-minded man works with natural things. The carnal-minded man works with water baptism. The carnal-minded man works with tithing. The carnal-minded man observes the Sabbath day. The carnal-minded man works with circumcision. The carnal-minded man works with those things which he ingests, wine and bread, the communion, okay, the natural things. Okay, the carnal-minded man working with natural things doesn't understand the value of spiritual things. In fact, they don't see the need for apostles. Neither do they see the necessity for the foundation of truth. But the conscience being defiled, they have to use the law of commandments, the Ten Commandments, in order to try to find balance with their own conscience. Now, their conscience being defiled, okay, is held in a state of imbalance. Okay, so they try to find balance by the law. Okay, the law only is self-referencing, whereas the throne, okay, is multiplies through giving. It gives, we reciprocate. Through the throne, by the knowledge of the throne, we redound to the glory of God. The knowledge of the law, okay, restricts that to self-referencing. All right? So they shall see his face. I mean, now, he says in his reflection, we will mirror in all things, both in fire and in water, okay, as we communicate each letter of Christ whose seal is in our forehead, in our perspective. Okay, he's writing his law and commandments in our minds and in our hearts. Well, if that's written in their minds and their hearts, what about that which is written in the Torah? That which is written in the Torah, okay, doesn't correspond to that which is the Spirit. Because that which is the Spirit is greater, okay, than the law. Okay, as faith is greater than the law. Okay, the Spirit is greater than the flesh, as faith is greater than the law. Okay, we can see that the Lord gave tokens to symbolize these things of transition, whether it be in David eating of the showbread, or Samson being joined to the Philistines, okay, or Samuel building the altar of high place. Okay, all these things, okay, being described with ink on paper in the law of the Torah, okay, would condemn, as Jesus broke the Sabbath day. The law condemned. Well, we know this man, he's a sinner. The law condemned him, but the anointing forgave him. Okay, we are free from the law by the anointing of Jesus Christ. Okay, because Jesus fulfilled it in himself. Okay, so by fulfilling it within himself and completing it within himself and perfecting it within himself, okay, that makes us perfect in word and deed. Okay, so there, in other words, there is no offense within us. If there's no offense, that means there's no transgression. There's no transgression. Okay, we are free from the law and we are no longer sinners because we have been sealed by the Spirit of his light. Okay, as, of course, Chief Elder John brings out in his first letter there in the Gospels, in chapter 1. In him is light, and the light was the life of men. Okay, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The darkness had to do, okay, within the containment of the animal skins of the law. Okay, they love the law. Okay, they love the law. That means that which is constructed in animal skin, okay, which represents the brutality, okay, of the nature, okay, that's unilluminated. Because man is not above a beast, okay, and regarding the unilluminated. But those which have received the engrafting of the seal are above the animal kingdom. When the Spirit was upon Adam, all the animal kingdom had to observe that and not annoy him, okay, nor transgress him. Because God gave him, okay, as a throne, okay, and as an angel over all these things. But when the transgression, okay, was completed, he was being cast out of the garden and losing that light, okay, he became vulnerable as the beast. Okay, as the beast is vulnerable. Okay, for that which needs to drink and eat, okay, is as the beastly kingdom. Okay, and the law of Moses, okay, communicated that, okay, because the priest had to eat that which is be partaker of the altar. He that serves the altar is partaker of the altar. Okay, with a three-pronged fork. a hook. He would eat the sacrifice and drink of the wine, which is all perishable, but asked why Jesus said, I want you to eat of me, eat my flesh and drink my blood, which is greater. If you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you're free from the altar of the law, because you're working with the altar of Jesus Christ, which is in the heart. Okay, which charity, okay, by which charity you speak, okay, covers a multitude of sins. They shall see his face, and his name should be in their foreheads. There should be no night there. There's no night, that means there's no Sabbath, because Jesus is a Sabbath man. And we observe the city as our father Abraham did. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder maker is God. Abraham saw that, and he saw the freedom of that. He understood the mystery of that, which has foundations, whose builder maker is God. Abraham understood that the foundation of the holy city was upon that which is of stewardship. Upon the stewardship, the city is built. Upon the stewardship, the kingdom of God increases and abounds. Apart from stewardship, you're wandering in the wilderness. The wilderness is where the mother of harlots is at. Where the holy city is, that's the stewardship of Christ. Christ is there in the holy city. That's which is the mother of us all. So you see how God assigned the feminine gender to that which is of the mother of harlots, and the feminine gender to that which is the holy city, New Jerusalem. And we're identifying with the holy city, the mother of us all, as the Apostle Paul brings out in his epistle there. Okay, for these are the two covenants, he said. Okay, that which is earthly, earthbound, is subject to the elements. That which is heavenly bound is free from the elements. There should be no night there. We're now free from the elements. Okay, no time restriction in the holy city for these kings. There should be no night there, and they need no artificial power is necessary. They need no candle, neither the light of the sun, because now we're Egyptian being sealed in Jesus, the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. So by the after the order of Melchizedek, we carry this testimony and practice in new dimensions, okay, as a tether of knowledge. We carry the order of Melchizedek now in new dimensions with this tether of knowledge. Okay, so those things which proceed out of us, as a baby proceeds out of the womb of its mother, okay, that which proceeds out of the womb of your creation, okay, will bear your resemblance and live by your knowledge and under your rules. Okay, even as we came out of the womb of our father's bosom, entered into this dimension, we are now subject to him, subject to his rules, subject to his perceptions, okay, according to this divine plan. Okay, so the sun marks time, but in the holy city, there is no time. Okay, the Sabbath man, Jesus Christ, is in the holy city. The Sabbath man dwells in you now, which frees you from the condemnation of the law of not observing the physical day. Okay, if Christ is in you, the hope of glory, what glory is it that you have in the law? None. That's what you're crucifying. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I have crucified the lust of the flesh. I've crucified the flesh. What she has to do, okay, with the weakness of the law is dead by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so he says, there should be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Hike the word reign forever and ever. Okay, reigning, okay, is, you say, the throne of your stewardship. Okay, the throne of your stewardship is promoted, okay, to increase our Father's house in dimensions, okay, that far expand beyond the perimeters of the universe right now. It's going to expand the Father's kingdom far beyond those, far beyond the gates, okay, of the edges and the boundaries and the perimeter of this universe. This universe, okay, is as small as the size of a head of a pin. Okay, the universe which we're in right now, okay, as small as the size of the head of a pin. Okay, that pin, okay, that the size of the pin is going to increase to the size of the sun. Okay. But we can't stop there. That which is the size of the sun is going to increase to the size of the solar system. That which is the size of the solar system will increase the size of a galaxy. That which is the size of a galaxy will increase the size of a universe. Okay, and beyond. Okay, this is what our Father has planned for us, that we fill every chamber of his heart with good things. These are the treasures which we bring and present to him. Okay, the treasures of these powers, which our Father will take and delight in. He rejoices in these things because it's the very power, okay, which he invested within us. He gave us a penny and we increased it to 1,000-fold. Okay, if you could be entrusted, okay, with the little things now, how much more with the real treasures later, the real riches later, see? So the challenges which he's allowed within this dimension is very small compared to that which is yet to come, okay, the treasures. So he says, the Lord God gives them light, and they shall live forever, ever and ever. Okay, this is the light that we walk into, called the baptism of light. And then now the angel said to John here, these things are faithful and true. I like the word faithful and true because these are consistent to the origin of Christ. Faithful is consistency. True is the origin. Okay, it's faithful to its origin. The origin is the Father's bosom. Okay, the unchangeable one, the eternal one. These things, the language of this faith, is consistent to the origin of Christ. Okay, and faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets. Now you notice now he says, Lord God of holy prophets. Okay, we all prophesy Christ. All those under the anointing affirm this divine pattern. Okay, we don't affirm the things that are perishable, which is under that first covenant. Okay, we affirm the things which are imperishable, okay, which follow the pattern, okay, as the revelation which was given to Abraham. Abraham was before the law, but the law was added because of transgression. The law was added not to perfect that which is, okay, of the flesh, but rather to point out which would bring the perfection, Jesus Christ. Okay, for now I say unto you, as Jesus said, okay, which is identifying, okay, the law was which cursed the flesh. Jesus says, I can relieve that curse. But now I say unto you, okay, was showing that you, if you believe what I say, okay, the one that's speaking, okay, the one that's speaking is the perfection, Jesus Christ. See, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God and the holy prophet sent his angel, which is a tether and a tutor of this anointing, which reveals and unfolds this mystery, and to show unto the servants, his servants, the things which must shortly be done. That is to set the pattern for faith to reflect upon. This is escape, okay, which has to escape those things of condemnation, okay, which has to do with the imagination, the aspiration, the principle, which things must shortly be done. Which John was talking about here, which the Spirit was revealing to him, okay, was that upon the completion of this revelation, you will share this revelation with Chief Elder Peter and James, okay, and also Jude. You will share this revelation with them to show them the direction by which I'm going to take the church. Not that only of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, okay, but that which why you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just the first token. Okay, it's the seed, okay, of this process. It's only the seed. It's not the tree yet. It's the seed. When it grows into the tree, okay, its fullness has to do with the full foliage, okay, and the beauty of its fruit. But the seal of the Spirit is just the seed. The covenant provides you, okay, the luscious and fertilized nutriments of the soil, okay, for the purpose of the seed to sprout, to grow, and its roots to grow deep, and its fruits to grow bright. Okay, as you partake of this knowledge. Okay, things will shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly, he says. So he's telling John, take note. I come quickly. I'm going to come suddenly to reward you. This is the sign of ownership. The sign of ownership is upon him that observed this form of communication and charity. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the saying. This is the communication of this charity, okay, which you prophesy in your charity. The sayings, the prophecy of this book. Okay, the charity of this prophetic path. Okay, the volume of the book, which is Jesus Christ, called the Word of God. Now, verse 8, I, John, saw these things and I heard them. Okay, we see the same language in his epistles. That which we have both seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, apostles, government, stewardship, ambassadors. As the Apostle Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Jesus was identifying his stewardship to the apostles. The apostles are identifying their stewardship to the brethren. Okay, the brethren are identifying their stewardship, okay, to those which are yet without. The evangelist, okay, is another example. The stewardship of the evangelist, okay, is merely the net to bring this knowledge to those which are outside, okay, for the purpose of the illumination to bring them in. Okay, as the teacher also instructs those which are coming in the door of the covenant, okay, to proceed further. You can come in the house now. Don't stand in the doorway. Come on in the house. I, John, saw these things and I heard them. Okay, and when I had seen and heard and seen here, okay, which my soul is now being filled with this knowledge, I fell down and worshiped before the feet of this angel. I reciprocated, he says, I reciprocated and I rehearsed them, okay, to the spirit which is unfolding this charity to me. Okay, that's the reciprocation. I fell before the angel which showed me these things, who was joined to the Godhead. Okay, being joined to the Godhead, even as Joseph's brethren, they fell before him, okay, about the cup of his divination. The cup of divination brought them back for full cycle. Okay, the cup of divination brought them back for full cycle. I am your brother Joseph, okay, said Joseph. I'm your brother Joseph. They thought he was speaking by the Spirit. Okay, and when you're speaking by the Spirit of the anointing, okay, it takes the Spirit to open your eyes to see that it's Christ that's truly speaking. When they understood that, there was an embracing. There was a reciprocation, okay, and there was a movement, a mobility, to where all of their family came and dwelt in the land of Gozan, which was assigned to them by Joseph, which is authorized by Pharaoh himself, the land of Ramesses. Okay? So you can see a reciprocation coming full cycle through the stewardship of Joseph. You can see that as unfolded with the stewardship today, the stewardship of Jesus Christ through the mouth of his government. So this, the stewardship of the apostles is the very door, mouth of his government, the mouth of his kingdom. Okay, so he said to me, see you do it not, I'm your fellow servant. Okay, I'm not the one that you're in service to. Okay, it's the knowledge I'm sharing with you. Okay, I'm only a vessel. I'm pouring out water for your cup. I'm just pouring water in your cup. I'm just a servant pouring water into your cup, he says. Okay, as the stewardship does. I'm just a servant pouring water in your cup. As Jesus also mentioned to the woman at the well. Okay, she says, you have no rope or pail to draw with. Now the eyes of her was open. It says, I that speak unto you am he. Okay, so the water, the living water, okay, was a knowledge which Jesus was sharing at the woman at the well. It was upon that her reciprocation came to bring other people. Okay, is not this the one that we talked about, the Messiah? Isn't this he? Then he said, see, you do it not, I'm your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets. In other words, the knowledge I'm providing for you is a confirmation of this pattern. Okay, he was confirming the pattern, and that's what all prophets do, confirm the pattern. Okay, so you're building upon the foundation, the apostles and prophets. You're identifying the stewardship and the confirmation that comes with it. Okay, even as that which was Aaron's rod with Moses. Okay, and of them which keep the sayings of the book, of this book, the volume of the book, worship God. We worship him, reciprocate him by this knowledge. Okay, so with this knowledge, now voice your charity. When you voice charity with this knowledge, then you see the face of Christ and you teach the church. Okay, now let's jump back to Ephesians chapter 19, 6:19 that is. Okay, so we're now back to verse 21 here. And we moved on from that point. So I speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs regarding the state of the church. Okay, follow my example, the state of the church. Be you followers of me, even as I'm also Christ. Which, of course, he brings that out. 21, that you also may know my affairs and how I do, as follow my example. And Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. That is, for the anointing only bonds the soul to Christ. Okay, it doesn't introduce personal struggles. Whom I sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, the challenges we face, how we overcome, and that he also might comfort your hearts. Okay, that is how to respond to these doctrinal errors, okay, for your own benefit. The epistles were written to the church by the government of God, the apostles there, okay, in order to give them an understanding of how to combat against the doctrinal error of the Nicolaitans, as an example. The deeds and doctrines of the Nicolaitans, okay, which we see unfolded to that which is the Church of Ephesus. Okay, the Church of Ephesus there had the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, okay, and it was taking root there which has to do with reverting back to the law. Okay, so he's talking about he that overcomes. Okay? If you want to eat of the tree of life, okay, the tree of life, which has to do with, he's substantiating this pattern. The tree of life is located where? It's located in the holy city. Well, but the first thing you're going to see, okay, as you walk within the divine light, the river of the water of life, which you see from the throne through the tree of life, the tethering, okay, is a tethering of a divine flow. Okay, and it's by this divine flow there, okay, that there's an impregnation taking place. Okay, we're taking that which God put within us and bringing it within the egg, okay, the very bosom, okay, for the purpose of impregnating. Okay, then that's the expanding of his kingdom. Okay, to make known to you all things whom I sent for to you the same purpose, okay, that you may know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren. So I hate the word peace there. That's what he's talking about concerning these affairs. Okay, his spirit will resolve your doubts. Okay, as you prophesy this knowledge. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith. Okay, this is what you're prophesying. Okay, your charity is being reciprocated by faith. God hears, God knows, God takes pleasure in this. Okay, he governs us by this fire of charity, okay, with faith from God our Father. That which was revealed in the Father's bosom in the crystal sea is now unfolded, okay, and being sustained by the Holy Ghost which is within you. Okay, and that's what he brings out, okay, which Chief Elder John brings out in chapter 1, verse 1, in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, the Word's with God, and the Word was God. That which has to do with that which was designed is sent forth and sustained, okay, by the Holy Ghost. That which is designed in the Father's bosom, okay, which was initiated, okay, which Jesus came and set forth, is now sustained by the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Okay, the Comforter. He's going to bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Okay, the Holy Ghost is going to follow the divine pattern which this stewardship, Jesus was saying about himself, okay, has unfolded to you, beginning from John's baptism unto my ascension. Okay, must one be ordained to be a witness with us, as Chief Elder Peter understood, and which he preached. We follow this pattern, not any pattern prior to that, not any pattern following that. The pattern which is now established within that perimeter, okay, which Jesus of Nazareth revealed. Prior to that was the covenant of Moses. Okay, prior to that was the covenant of Moses. Okay, nothing following that, which means nothing will be added to this. The Holy Ghost will not use anything, okay, that wasn't substantiated and sealed in his blood. Okay, all the promises in him are yea and in him amen. Okay, so grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus. That means those that express. The anointing will follow those that express this charity. Now and forever. Okay, the anointing will follow those that express this charity now and forever. Right, so it goes on, grace be with all them, okay, that are in Christ Jesus. In sincerity, that means being absent of guile, neither to advance in any aspiration. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Okay, absent of everything, okay, that is corruptible. Okay, nothing that's corruptible shall enter into the mouth of the holy city. It will not be able to pass through the gate because it's corruptible. Okay, it's of the form, okay, that cannot pass through the fire. If it can't pass through the fire, it can't pass through the gate. Okay, because the angels of fire stand at the gate. At each gate, there's an angel. Okay, there's 12 gates, and there's 12 angels that stand at the gates, and each gate is a pearl. Right? And being a pearl, which identifies that which is weak stands without, that which is eternal passes within. Okay, so grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Okay, now we're going to turn your page to Philippians chapter 1. Okay, and we're going to start right there. Concerning the things which we just brought out in Ephesians, we just completed the book of Ephesians there. We're going to pick up here, okay, also in Philippians chapter 1, okay, where he identifies the priesthood. Okay, he identifies the priesthood here. And the seven stars, which is in the right hand of Jesus. Okay, Revelation 1:20. The stars in the right hand of Christ was given to us to guide your faith. Okay, and we see that in Revelation 1:16. Because the stars, which was in Jesus' right hand, okay, Jesus put his right hand upon the head of Chief Elder and Steward John, and he confirmed these things to the churches, which the Apostle Paul understood. Okay, and as he grew in the grace of God, And through his experiences and example of faith, he was able to unfold these mysteries to the churches. So Paul, Timotheus, and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, same language, which he's just read, and Revelation chapter 22, we get your sacrifices ready. Then all the saints, the stewardship to the saints in Christ Jesus, those which were following the steps of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. See that? Okay, in one verse there, you see, he's talking about concerning the divine tethering, Jesus Christ. Okay, the name which is provided for him in the flesh, by which the anointing would abide upon to complete. Okay, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Okay, those which now have received the seal in a new priesthood after Or Melchizedek, Christ Jesus, okay, which are at Philippi, okay, to the bishops, with the bishops and deacons. Okay, so he's identifying there's already now an established government, okay, which is being oversought. Okay, the bishops and the deacons, the elders which assist in these things, okay, whether it be spiritually or physically. Okay, the bishop is put within a position, okay, to oversee, okay, okay, the assembly. Okay, the same thing that we do. Okay, the responsibility is to oversee and to see these things move smoothly. Okay, as the deacons also, okay, would assist those that have particular needs. So it goes on here in verse 2, and then we'll conclude here. Okay, the illumination of this knowledge, the illumination which the Spirit now empowers, okay, is for the purpose of bonding your faith, okay, to his throne. Okay, and the peace of God which is present is to remove the contradiction for this unity, to spawn this unity and to sustain this unity. So therefore, let the peace of God rule within you. Okay, is a deciding factor. Rule is a deciding factor, okay, by which, okay, we can take confidence in. Okay, the anointing assists you within this transition called the peace of God. Okay, so that the peace of God allows you to progress. Okay, to progress through your cycles of growth without falling into madness. The peace of God wasn't present. The power that would be present, okay, would cause a disturbance and it cause a breaking down. Okay, but he's not there to break you down. He's there to lift you up. He's there to assist you. Okay, a demon is there for the purpose of breaking you down, called depression. He's there to break you down, to set you in a state of confusion and doubt, double-mindedness, and sedition against the kingdom of God. But the peace of God is the very opposite of that. Okay, it sustains you it gives you that mobility, okay, and confidence, okay, that you continue to bond and build his kingdom. And this is why he says, this is the divine tethering from God our Father. Okay, the unity of our service, which is God's gift to you for this adoption, from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the master of mediation in both veils of water and fire. Both veils of water and fire, okay, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see that this is what he's officiating. He's your master and Lord, okay, through the priesthood which you have now, okay, which you have now received and not what you're now functioning in. Okay, he's Lord and master of that. Okay, we can see that the false religious system is trying to make Jesus Lord of the life. Okay, they're doing this by force of nature. Okay, we do it by subjecting to grace. The force of nature has to do with that they're using, okay, they're using the knowledge of the Bible as their goal. Okay, they're using the Bible as their goal. They see what they're supposed to be, and they're using the force of nature to obtain that. That's called will worship. Will worship. Okay, but you can't obtain it by force of nature. You can't force grace from God. Okay, so God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay, those which take on the yoke of the priesthood, the grace of God will flow through. How simple. Now he's Lord of your life. He's Lord of your life. He's officiating and overseeing this divine flow. Okay, even as the waters proceed from the throne through the tree of life. Okay, so grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.